Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 92 of Macabre Misfortune. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, this story, wow.
Uh-oh.
You know how all these stories go.
Buckle up.
But this story goes back to 1998 in the UK. The town was called Walsall. And there was a little bakery there called Harvesting Bakery. I say a little bakery, it's not a little bakery. It's a big bakery. But 47-year-old David Mays was the general maintenance man at this bakery. He would do various jobs around the workplace, anything they needed him to do. That's what he just did. Like I said, this bakery was not your mom-and-pop place on the corner of the road here. This was an industrial bakery. So think more like a factory. The bakery had originally opened in 1800. So, long time.
Sure enough.
So, it had been open almost 200 years by this point.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was not in the 1800s. 1800 on the nose is when it started. Like I said, it started in a different city. By 1998, it had over 400 employees. Wow. They produced bread for major supermarkets. Now, our story takes place in May of 1998. Several of the dough trays had entered the oven, but it was then discovered that there was a major issue. In one of the 75-foot-long bread ovens, deep inside, a grid had broken off. Now, there was a major concern that this grid would end up doing some major internal damage. Mm-hmm. And these ovens, as you could imagine, aren't cheap.
Oh, I'm sure not.
So they decided that this had to be fixed immediately. They initially thought to call in a specialist, a professional, to actually dismantle the oven, but they decided to just fix it on site. Because, you know, that always works out so well.
Yeah.
So who'd they call? Well, of course, the maintenance man, David Mays. They asked him if he could, you know, work on the oven with one of the engineers on site. Well, this is something that David had never been asked to do, and he'd never done it before. And at first, he didn't want to do it, but they kind of dangled a nice little bonus in front of him for doing it. So he said, you know, what the hell, I'll go ahead and do it. I'm assuming they offered him some bread. Some dough.
Anyways. Oh, nice.
So at 9 a.m. the next morning, David arrives at work, and he meets with two engineers. One was a senior engineer. He would oversee the whole thing. And the other engineer would actually be entering the oven with David. It's important to note that they hadn't shut down the machine all night long, which I don't understand. If they're concerned that this piece could go through there and do some kind of damage, why wouldn't they just shut the machine down initially to keep that from happening? But they rolled the dice and said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and leave it cooking all night long, and then hopefully we can get through the night and we'll get it fixed tomorrow, no big issues. Well, they had been baking bread all night, as I said. So when the three men actually come in, the first thing they did was switch the oven off, and they were going to wait for it to cool down. Well, the oven's manufacturer told the company that the work that they needed to do on this, to do it properly, was going to take four men at least 12 hours. Now, how many men do we have?
Four.
How many? No. That's how many it should take. How many do we have? Three.
Two.
You got the two engineers.
Oh, the big engineer and then the middle guy.
So, we're already starting off with one less person than they're even saying you should be using, which doesn't mean anything, but it just probably would take it longer. They said that the company was going to lose about 1,200 pounds for every hour that the machine was down. And they didn't want to lose almost $13,000, so they came up with a better idea. Instead of letting the oven cool naturally, industrial fans were brought in to blast cold air through the oven. The managers also decided that they could save more by going in through the entrance hatch and avoid the cost of removing the side panels.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and I'll be back to tell you how all this turned out. All right. Just 2 hours after turning the oven off, 11 a.m., Ian, who was actually the engineer that was going in with David, and David, put on this thin heat protective suit, hat, gloves, they had protective knee and elbow padding, and grabbed a couple of walkie-talkies. So they're set to walk in this thing. They carefully crawled onto the moving conveyor belt and let it take them inside the oven. 5 minutes later, frantic screaming began coming from the radio. The oven, according to the men, was far too hot. And the last thing they heard was, "Get us out." Well, the engineer supervising the situation immediately sprang into action and tried to reverse the conveyor belt. And to his horror, he realized that this was a one-way system. It could not be reversed. The two men would have to go all the way through the 75-foot oven.
But why couldn't they stop it and let them just crawl back?
Well, by this point, they were probably already in the middle, and I'm sure they probably could have stopped it. But for some reason, they didn't, and I don't know why they didn't. Because I thought initially the same thing. An agonizing 17 minutes later, the oven was broken open with a crowbar. The engineer was dragged out, Ian. He was burnt from head to toe, and he collapsed and died right there on the factory floor. David was nowhere to be seen. He remained trapped in the machine and had to be freed by the fire department later that evening. Autopsy revealed that the two men had broken most of their bones and sustained burns to 80% of their bodies while trying to get out of the system.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the other thing. They may not have been able, I mean, there might not have been enough room for them to crawl out. Because when you're talking about a thin conveyor belt that's meant to bake bread. So
I wonder what the fourth guy would have been able to do.
Well, the fourth guy, I think, this was all set up to be done where you take the sides off and all that. It wasn't meant to do it like they were doing. That was their way of, you know, skating the system, so to speak. Investigators learned that the oven should have cooled off at least 10 to 12 hours before anyone should have entered. And to make it worse, there were temperature gauges on the side of the machine that if they would have looked at it, they would have seen that it was still registering 212 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot enough to boil water. That's what they sent these men into.
Oh, poor souls.
David's parents took the company to court, and they were ordered to pay $750,000.
That's it.
And in fines and stuff. Well, this was 1998. So you're looking at, you know, 25 years ago. So that was worth over $1 million. Yeah, that's still less than we should be. While the bakery tried to recover financially from this whole situation, they really couldn't, and they ended up closing the doors completely in 2005.
I don't even know how you would think it would be okay to keep going, knowing that horrific thing happened to those men.
Unfortunately, horrific things happen in almost every company, and they can't just shut them down because something horrific happens.
I just can't imagine how horrifying that was for those poor guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, you go to work and you expect your company to be looking out for you, at least from a safety standpoint, and, you know, they send you into an oven that's that's still 212 degrees. And you're stuck in there while you're going through the baking process. Mm. Just going slowly through the conveyor belt.
That's a nightmare.
That makes me not even want to eat Subway.
No doubt.
Like, I needed more reasons not to eat Subway.
So. That's all right. A pretty bad, awful story.
So that's the story we got for you this week. So, we love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Love y'all.